Bible school teacher was telling the class of second grade boys about the wonders of heaven, and they listened with intent attention as he described all the details that you read about in the final chapters of the Bible. When he finished, he turned to the class and he asked, "How many of you want to go to heaven?" Everybody raised their hand except one little boy, little Bobby. He just sat over there and didn't do a thing. Well, the teacher assumed that maybe Bobby, you know, didn't hear the question, so he asked again, "How many of you guys want to go to heaven?" Again, every hand goes up except for Bobby's. So the teacher was concerned, went directly over to Bobby, looked at Bobby and said, "Bobby, don't you want to go to heaven when you die?" "Of course," Bobby said, "but I thought you were getting up a load right now, and I missed the bus going home last week, and my daddy said I better get home right after church or else. So if I ask the question, do you want to go to heaven?" I'm assuming that everybody, I don't know of any Bobbies in here that don't want to go. "Of course you do. Now if I ask you if you wanted to get on the bus that I talked about last week right now and go to heaven, maybe not all of you would raise your hands. Maybe you're just not ready. For lots of reasons, people are not ready yet. Some people don't want to go to heaven because they think heaven is too boring." I think it was Mark Twain that had Huck Finn reject any real interest in heaven. He said, "Look, all a body would have to do was to go around all day long with a harp and sing forever and ever," as if to convince Huck that that would be boring. Younger people sometimes deny any interest in heaven, perhaps for the same reason that they tend to think that they're going to live forever. But older folk begin to think at the end of time with a little different light and see things a little clearer. There was a little girl, she was asking her slightly older little sister as they looked over at Grandma and said, "Why does Grandma always read her Bible?" And the older sister told the younger sister, "I think she's studying for her final exams." Wiser folk think about heaven sooner rather than later, because life has no guarantees. Today I want to look at some of the reasons we ought to want to go to heaven. Because heaven is full of wonders, and I want to remind you this morning of seven wonders of heaven. First wonder is the wonder of its existence. You have your Bibles, I'd like you to join where we began this morning over in the book of Revelation in chapter 21. And as you find it, I want to assure you, my friends, that there is a heaven. This is what the Spirit revealed to the Apostle John about heaven, recorded for us here in this great chapter. Let's begin together in chapter 21 of Revelation, in verse 1. Let's read down through verse 5. "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.' Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" Do you hear that? "These words are true and faithful." These words are not just some symbolic language. They're surely not a lie. Heaven is a real place. We didn't make it or make it up. We didn't invent it. God prepared it for you and for me. It is new and it is beautiful. The poet says it this way: think of stepping on a shore and finding it is heaven. Think of taking hold of a hand and finding it is God's hand. Think of breathing new air and finding it is celestial air. Think of feeling invigorated and finding it is immortality. Think of passing from storm and tempest to an unknown calm. Think of waking up and finding it heaven. Here's a city described for us in Scripture that is not made with human hands. A city that will never wear out. Its inhabitants perhaps are too numerous for us to even imagine or to number. And it says God is right in the middle of it. Think about it. It's different than our cities. There's no hospitals. There's no cemeteries. There's no prisons, no mental institutions. There's no crime, no pollution, no hurricanes, no flood, no earthquakes. More than that, there's no tears shed, no crying, no pain, no death. In heaven, we will receive new bodies, and the aches and the pains will be gone. Disease, suffering will be no more. No more cancer, no more Alzheimer's, no more arthritis. Those limbs that are weakened by strokes are going to be restored, and the eyes that can't see because of diabetes will see again. All those disabilities, all of those limitations that we have in this aging, decaying body, all will be gone. All the things we have suffered through in this life will have passed away. I want to turn with me to some beautiful words over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 44. Again, 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 44. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. As we go back to Revelation here in chapter 21, it says an angel came to John. And in verse 9, it begins, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and the 12 angels at the gates and the names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. As you read through this account, you come to realize that Revelation really emphasizes more the size of the city than it talks about the inhabitants. It's a big city. Big space. Space enough for lots of people. This New Jerusalem, John names it, is described as a cube. We don't really understand all of it. About 1,500 miles wide and about 1,500 miles high and about 1,500 miles deep. That's big. It's only 900 miles across Texas. That's hundreds of times, thousands of times bigger than any man-made metropolitan area. The scale extends beyond anything that we can even imagine. And it says its foundations are jewels. Jewels of untold value. Of Bible scholars, they actually unsure the identity of some of these precious stones that are mentioned, because civilizations have called stones by different names over the years. But then it describes the gates. A single pearl, big enough to be a gate. And there are 12 gates, 12 pearls. And it says the streets are paved in gold, and the gold is so pure that it almost looks like it's transparent. And there is crystal pure water that flows through the city. I know your mind is making this picture as I describe this. Sounds like a garden. Sounds like an oasis. Surely it is to invoke some images of a Garden of Eden. There was a little girl who was talking to her father one day and wondering as they looked up at night at the stars and exclaimed, "Oh, Daddy, if the wrong side of heaven is so beautiful, what must the right side be?" I don't know. But this surely describes for us an incomparable beauty. Paul said it very well over in the book of 1 Corinthians in the 2nd chapter, verse 9. "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." Oh, we'll have to wait. The wonder of the existence of heaven. Let me remind you of a second wonder of heaven this morning. The wonder of its character. Heaven is a place of purity, a place of holiness. Surely different than the area in which we reside, is it not? The Bible says back here in Revelation 21 in verse 27, "But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles, or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Simply put, it is a place without sin. Therefore, it's a place without sin's consequences. Look around on the world in which we live. And think about that in comparison to heaven. In heaven, there'll be no war, there'll be no crime, there'll be no hatred, there'll be no envy. There'll be many of the diseases be gone, and it is a place where there'll be no punishment. Look in Revelation 21:8. Specifically it says, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And in Revelation 22:15, it adds, "But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie." Trisha and I live in a gated community. I can tell you it's not as secure as this place. Not as secure as heaven. It doesn't keep out the filthy and the unjust. But heaven's wall keeps those people out of heaven. Go back with me to Revelation 22, verse 14. "Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." The interesting thing is if you go back to the 21st chapter of Revelation and you read it closely, it says the gates are never closed. There's no night there. The gates are always open. Heaven is available to enter any time. But the ticket for entrance, it says, is obedience to His commandments. Let me remind you of a third wonder of heaven this morning. It is the wonder of the throne. Look in Revelation 21:5 again. "Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God. And he shall be my son." C.S. Lewis wrote these interesting words. "Heaven offers nothing that a mercenary soul can desire. It is safe to tell the pure in heart that they shall see God, for only the pure in heart want to. The main thing about heaven is not all of its glitter and its glitz. It's not about the gold and the precious jewels. The thing about heaven is it is the presence of God. You remember those beautiful words? Turn with me over to the Gospel of John in the 14th chapter, beginning in the first verse. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. A little bit later in that same chapter, down in verse 23, he says, Jesus answered and said to them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. It's one thing for someone to rent a motel room for you so that you can stay there when you're visiting them. But it's an entirely different thing for them to open their home and say, come stay with us. In heaven, the Lord is saying, I have a mansion, and I want you to come stay with me in my mansion. Look at those final words found over in Revelation 22 in verses 16 and 17. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit all want you to come and stay with them. You know, the Bible always describes heaven in such personal terms. It's what makes heaven heaven. It's, again, not the gold, it's not the jewels, it's the presence of the Heavenly Father. Listen again to Revelation 21:3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Let me remind you of a fourth wonder of heaven. The wonder of heaven's welcome. Jesus loved to teach in parables, you know that. Turn with me over to the Gospel of Luke in the 15th chapter, for here he gives three very memorable parables, all of them, talking about the reception we receive when we secure our ticket to heaven. First parable we call the parable of the lost sheep. Let's begin in verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. And then he gives us the parable of the lost coin, beginning in verse 8. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And finally, you recall the parable of the lost son. Jesus tells us of the father's comments, beginning in verse 22. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet and bring the fatted calf here and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. My friends, you're going to receive a reception when you walk through the pearly gates. All heaven is going to have open arms for you. It is a place of rejoicing and welcoming. You remember those words in John 3:16 and 17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What a wonder, the welcoming. Let me remind you of a fifth wonder of heaven. The wonder of who will be there. One elderly believer wrote these words. As a boy, I thought of heaven as a home, a city, but with domes and spires and beautiful streets inhabited by angels. And by and by, my little brother died. And I thought of heaven much as before, but with one inhabitant that I knew. And then another died. And then some of my acquaintances. So in time, I began to think of heaven as containing several people that I knew. But it was not until one of my own little children died that I began to think I had treasure in heaven myself. And afterward, another went. And yet another. And by that time, I had so many acquaintances and children in heaven that I no more thought of it as a city merely with streets of gold and as a place full of inhabitants. Now there were so many loved ones there, I sometimes think I know more people in heaven than I do on earth. Can you imagine walking through those pearly gates, being reunited with a departed loved one? Well, maybe parents, maybe your grandparents, maybe friends that you had from the past, maybe a spouse, maybe children who died before you. Heaven is going to be one grand reunion for the redeemed. But it's all the more reason to secure your place in heaven and to work to help your family secure theirs. Let me remind you of a sixth wonder of heaven, a sobering one. The wonder of who will not be there. You know, the Bible makes it clear. We read many of the lists. Not everyone will be there. Sorry. That's just what it says. You remember what we read in John 14:6? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So those who try to get to heaven without Christ, not going to make it. It's just that simple. If you believe in God, if you believe in his word, if you believe in Christ and what he said, no one would go to the Father except those that go through me. A man can go to heaven without health. He can go to heaven without wealth. He can go without fame, without a great name, without learning, without culture, without beauty, without friends, without 10,000 other things. But he can't go to heaven without Christ. We already read what it said in Revelation 21:27, but let's recall it. Not everyone's going to heaven, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God keeps the roll. Not me, not us, not any institution on this earth. And I can't help but think on that day in which we face or God in judgment, there are going to be many people who will be surprised. find out that they can't go through those pearly gates. And as I think about that, it brings me to the last wonder of heaven, and that is the wonder that more people aren't prepared. I mean, the invitation was in Revelation 22:17, whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. Whoever desires, he says, may come. The price of the ticket, he says, has been paid. We're taking reservations now. Think about it, there's some choices in this life in which we do not get to make. We didn't get the choice to make of whether we would be born or not. And we don't have the choice of when we're going to die either. We don't even have the choice of whether we're going to spend eternity. Yes, we're all going to spend eternity. But we do have this one choice. In this life, we can decide where we want to spend eternity. As sure as there is a heaven, my friends, there is a hell. And I guess the question this morning is very simple and pointed. Which place do you choose? Christ said, come to me through faith, through repentance of your sin, through your willingness to confess that faith that you believe that He is the Christ, the Son of God, your Savior. Be immersed, baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and rise to walk as a new creature in Christ, keeping His commandments, living His life, enduring to the end. With a ticket in your hand. Not because of what we may do, but because of the grace of Christ and God we can. It's freely available. But you have to accept it. Come if you will, as we stand and sing.